I was trying to be aware of it last week, and I didn't do so well, I think. As long as I don't get in front of the speakers, you shouldn't get any feedback. I chose the theme of this sermon maybe a week, 10 days ago, and considered the readings and chose them on Tuesday and sent them through to Sarah Tuesday night or Wednesday, not sure. And it intrigues me when I look at when we read that first reading from Luke. And Jesus is being asked by the people he's preaching to, he's teaching. He's being asked about the Galileans. And in the NIV it says, whose blood was mixed with sacrifice, or whose blood was mixed with their sacrifice. Now we don't know anything other than this scripture about this particular incident. There's no other source which will tell us what this incident was. But it's pretty clear that what happened and what he was being questioned about was people were presenting their sacrifice in the temple. The Jews, the Galileans, in fact, were presenting their sacrifice in the temple. And Pilate mixed their blood with that sacrifice. In other words, Roman soldiers, at Pilate's order, killed them whilst they were at sacrifice in the temple. And after Friday's events, it gives me pause to think about that scripture, and gives me pause to think about why that scripture came to mind. I'm sure it's one of those events. You will all remember where you were for the rest of your lives when you heard about what happened, and when you heard about how it unfolded and how serious it really was. When I heard about it, I was in my car and I was listening to national radio. And there's a report of some shooting at a mosque. And I remember thinking, well, I hope that's minor. But if someone's shooting in a mosque, it's not likely to be minor. And then, of course, the whole thing unfolds. And I found myself thinking two things. One, I found myself having a great sadness that these are people. These are people who are being destroyed, whose lives are being ended, some of whose lives haven't ended but have been disrupted. And the whole family circle and friends that are affected. These are people. And whilst theologically I want to say I don't think Islam is a valid religion, actually they're people that Jesus loves. And my second thought was, you can't do this in my country. I would rather like to have, I suppose, being in a situation where I could have done something about it. But obviously, in that situation, you're powerless. But you can't do this in my country. And that begs the question, so what do I do? That begs the question, as a Christian, what do I do? If I see that these are people loved by Jesus, and I see that this is something that I don't want in my country. I personally, I think that the major response for all of us, aside from the immediate response that we might want to pick up or take up of expressing our love and support for those who have been hurt, who are suffering. In a New Zealand sense, I think our response is carry on. Because actually, what's been the core of what has been done is an attack against our way of life. This is sort of a sociological way of looking at it. And so my response to that is, well, it's not going to work. I'm going to continue my way of life. Now, I think it's sensible to have made some adjustments to various things like cancelling a rugby game and cancelling a cricket test and so on, providing extra security for mosques and other places. Because I agree. So our response. It's reasonable to take extra precautions to prevent copycat attacks. But actually, our response as people in New Zealand is just to carry on, I think. What's our response? About that. I've been heckled before whilst I've been preaching, but not quite like that. So what is our response? How do we deal with what's happened? I'm reminded, as Christians, I'm reminded of something that was said by one of my lecturers in a block course in my undergraduate degree quite some years ago. When he was asked, what on earth do we do in the face of church decline? The decline in the numbers of attending church. And his response was, well, it's the Christian life. We just live it. And I think that that's a crucial part of how we work out what our response is to what's happened. We're Christians. We know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our response is to live the Christian life. Our response, I think, is to preach the gospel, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that sounds, on one level, that sounds, well, that's us doing ourselves, doing our little thing. How are we really engaging? What sort of a difference are we really making? But to proclaim the gospel is to live in Christ. And that means to proclaim the gospel as, in small part, what I'm doing now, to proclaim the gospel and make disciples within the church. But the reality is that this church, and the church, almost all the time is out in the community. Right now, this is a section of St. Matthew's gathered for worship. But mostly during the week, St. Matthew's is scattered in the community. We're going to spend maybe a couple of hours here in worship and having a cup of tea. And that leaves 166 other hours during the week. It's a lot. And it's in that 166 other hours that we are in the community. And we are still the church. We are still in Christ in the community. It's just that the church is scattered. And that's where we live in Christ. When we share with people about what we think of the incident, when we have opportunities to show our support for those who suffered, when we have opportunities perhaps to gather together to show our support, those are times when actually we proclaim the gospel. That's when we live as Christians. It's those times when we are in Christ and we reach out and we might share words of comfort or actually do something, take some action to show our support and love and concern. Times when perhaps we might influence how this society is governed. Times when perhaps we might have an opportunity to change things. That's when we live the gospel, proclaim the gospel. And that's our response to the events of Friday. And the interesting thing is that this sermon was planned to be about repentance. But the interesting thing about this is that indeed repentance is absolutely crucial and core to us living Christ's life. It's absolutely crucial to us to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. Jesus asks the crowd, were these Galileans any greater sinners than all the other Galileans? Which hints at just what people thought of Galileans in Jerusalem at the time. And he says emphatically no. And those people in Siloam who had the tower fall on them, were they worse sinners? No. At the time, the Jews thought that if you sinned really big, then you were at risk of immediate judgment. And so that's the thought that's behind the question. But Jesus says, no, actually, every one of us, every one of you, every one of us must repent or we will perish. And I think that's one of the chilling things about the shooting on Friday. Jesus says, repent or you will perish. And we usually like to think that our deaths, and let's face it, one out of one people die, we like to think that our deaths are comfortingly far away, so I don't really need to think too much about that. What Friday teaches us is that actually that's not necessarily the case. Now is the time of salvation. One of the reasons I came to Christ in my journey to Christ was I had a couple of migraines, one after the other, and occasionally get migraines, but this was new, and I was really worried about that. And it made me realize at the time that actually there is no time. You can't put this off and plan to sort this God thing out in 10 years' time. You need to do something now. That's one of the things I think that Friday reminds us. So the time to repent is now. And what does Jesus mean by repent? What does Peter mean by repent when he says, repent and be baptized? Colloquially, I think most people, when we talk about repentance, we think of being really, of feeling really sad and sorry about what we've done. And certainly I can, in my younger days, pre-Christian days, thinking of that if I felt contrite enough, that would be all right. Well, sure, repentance is about recognizing stuff that we don't want to be involved with again. Repentance is about identifying sin, identifying the sort of darkness, the dark bits of our lives, if you like, and realizing that they are what they are, dark bits that shouldn't be there. And when we think of terms of conversion and coming to Christ, it's a matter of recognizing the darkness that we are in, the bondage of sin that we're in. But the Greek word that's used for repentance, almost always in the New Testament, actually is a double banger. Yes, it means recognizing the darkness, recognizing the bad stuff, but it also means turning to Christ, turning to God. It's about putting away and turning from sin and turning to God, turning to Jesus Christ. So when Jesus says, repent or you will perish, he's not saying, feel really sorry as much as you can about what you've done wrong. He's saying, turn to me. He's saying, what you've done wrong, put aside and turn to me. Repentance is about, I think, is about turning to Jesus Christ. Repentance is about saying yes to God and saying, I actually want everything in my life to reflect you. I want everything in my life to be what you want. I want nothing in my life to be what I want. That's, by the way, I think, an impossible target. But nevertheless, the decision is that that's what we want. My personal experience, yours may be different, but my personal experience is that actually bits I don't want still crop up. But over the years, the bits I don't want, I hope, are getting less. And the bits that I want to do with Christ are getting more. That's the journey we should be on. So actually, repentance is at the core of our response to the events of Friday. Repentance understood as turning to Christ. One of the interesting things about repentance is that whilst we might, first of all, think about being sad about things, actually, if we've turned to Christ, we have repented. If we are in Christ, then we have repented. We have indeed turned from sin and turned to him. That's why I think that when we go out to the world and proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, we have to be honest about sin, we have to be honest about the salvation he offers, but actually we should be positive about the message, that actually it's not what we don't like we should be majoring on, it's who we love that we should be majoring on. It should be the message of Jesus Christ. The classic way of coming to salvation, the classic way of the sort of sinner's prayer that's predominated in the church, certainly since the Reformation, is that first of all you realize how bad and sinful and ugly you are, and that you need someone to help you. So having recognized that, then you turn from that and you turn to Jesus Christ, who comes and cleanses you. And that's absolutely right. But actually, I don't think it's necessary to overemphasize what we're turning from. I don't think it's necessary to overemphasize the yucky stuff. I do think it's necessary to emphasize this is Jesus Christ reaching out to you. Because what we offer to the world is salvation in Christ. What Christ offers the world through us is salvation in him. And that's the message that we should be preaching and proclaiming to this community and to the world. And for each of us individually, in our response to Friday, we need to say we want to live in Christ and be led by him in his spirit. As we reach out in love to those who are hurting, we may disagree with their philosophy, as Lenore said, and thank you for that. But actually, they're people whom Jesus loves. We need to stand in solidarity and say, this is who we are. We stand for love. We stand for Christ. Amen.